Good morning, Columbia Grove. Hope you guys had a great week. Happy Super Bowl. Yeah, unfortunately, Seahawks aren't playing this year, but maybe next year. Well, anyway, I hope that you guys had a wonderful week, and I hope that this song will make you do something. Why don't we all stand? That's doing something, right?
I woke up this morning and saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how'd we ever get so far down? And how was ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? No, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty and children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. God, why don't you do something? He said I did. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me and you. Right now, it's time for us.
Awesome capo on my guitar. It's a shark, by the way. We're going to sing another song we played 3 weeks ago called Graves in the Gardens, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Good morning. Hey, have a seat. But could the worship team be enthusiastic? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. That's awesome. Thanks, guys. We love the life. Let's open our service up with a word of prayer. God, thank you that nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens and seas into highways and mourning into dancing. And Lord, we just come to you today knowing that we need to be refilled by your love, knowing that we need to connect with you, knowing that you have something that each of us needs. And Holy Spirit, we know that you can deliver it and give it in a way that is just unique to each person. And thank you for that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's so good to see you. My name is Andrew, and if we haven't met yet, I'm a senior pastor here. And just thrilled that you took some time. And for those joining us online, thanks for taking some time to be part of worship this morning. Well, we're going to just jump back into worship real fast, but we want to pray for our kids as they get ready to head off to Children's Church. So if you're if you're sitting next to someone who may be heading off to Children's Church, you can put a hand on their shoulder. Otherwise, let's just bow our heads and commit our kids to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for our kids. What a joy they are. So much life, so much vitality, and there's so much that you want to do with their lives. Lord, help us to not get in the way of that. And Lord, we just pray you'd bless every mom and dad and aunt and uncle and grandma and grandpa and great-grandma and great-grandpa and everybody that's investing in the kids. And bless our teachers, God, for those people that are giving up of their time to teach a Bible lesson and sing songs and do goofy games. God, those we know you use those things for the message of your love to go deep into their hearts. We pray that would happen today. We lift them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So while our kids are getting settled, take a moment or two, greet one another. We'll put some social media up on the screen as folks are joining us from wherever they are joining us from. And maybe as you're talking to each other, you can tell, you know, if there's a team you're rooting for the Super Bowl. Maybe you're really excited about it or something. I actually met a Rams fan recently, so that's kind of fun. Yeah. Anyways, and then we're going to jump back into singing in a few moments.
As you guys make your way back to your seats, we're gonna sing about children and families and dads and just something that God gives us when we feel down, lonely, and afraid.
Or the broken man. to a time of congregational prayer, and I would like to invite my sweet friend Kathy Adelman to lead us in that congregational prayer. Thank you, Kathy. That mic right there should be ready for you.
I love it when the Lord gives me an object lesson, and He gave me an object lesson this morning. Just as I was sitting over there, I reached into this pocket that I hadn't, this pocket that I haven't had this jacket on for a while, and inside I found a pen, a quarter, and a penny. And I felt like He was saying to me, you know, Kathy, put your toes in. I've got something for you. I have something for you in here. Put your hand in. Leave it in. I will provide for you. And it was just something that I felt like I needed to share with you this morning. Friends, if you've got something that the Lord is asking you to dip your toe into, to put your hand into, whatever that might be, you know, going beyond religion, put your hand in. Put your toe in. You never know what you might find. It might just simply be a penny, a quarter, and a pen. This is all useful stuff, right? Dip your hands in, friends. I would pray that for you this morning. Put your toes in. He has something for you. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, we praise you and worship you this morning for who you are. God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The God who has placed a banner of love over us, the God who sees and knows us. You see our comings, our goings. You see when we sit down, when we rise. You know when a word is on our lips, even before we speak it, you know it. And you created every fiber of our beings. We praise you because you are God Almighty who is over all things. And God, we thank you this morning for what you've done for us. Thank you for your mercy and grace, which is new to us every morning. In love, you granted us new life through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Now he sits at your right hand and intercedes for us. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit who is alive in us, leading and guiding, comforting us and strengthening us so that we will not grow weary and lose hope. Thank you for the gift of faith, which gives us hope, the hope of heaven and of life eternal with you. Thank you, God, for yesterday's women's gathering and for bringing to us the women of the Grace House. We thank you, God, that you've forgiven us. And God, I'd just like for each of us just to take a moment, and we're just going to ask you, Father, to search us and know our hearts, to test us and know our anxious thoughts, see if there is any offensive way in us, and lead us in the life everlasting. God, we just lift that before you right now in a moment of silence. Father, teach us, we pray, to be obedient to your will. Just like the song that we just sang, give us eyes to see what you see and your ears to hear what you hear. Give us the feet of Jesus, which carry good news to the lonely, the persecuted, those who have been marginalized by society, the outcast and the orphan, those who are struggling and suffering. Give us hands that serve and hearts that desire and long for you and you alone, because only you can truly satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. And we lift our world before you. Father, you know how difficult these last 2 years of pandemic have been and what a toll they've taken on us emotionally and physically. We pray specifically this morning for the end of COVID and for its effects. God, thank you so much for those who have been on the front lines during this time, specifically healthcare workers and those who support them. God, may they feel your presence and be strengthened by it. And Father, from all of this, we pray that beauty would come from ashes. We pray especially for our world leaders this morning. We pray that they would seek godly wisdom and that they would be obedient to you. Send God to them wise counsel, Lord, and give them ears to hear it. Closer to home, we pray for the people of Richland and for peace and comfort, God, as they recover and deal with the trauma of the shooting at Fred Meyer. God, there is just no earthly way to understand this. Help them and us to know that we can trust you even in this. Thank you, God, for the continued recovery of Brent Capel, and thank you, God, that he is home. Father, we can just see your fingerprints all over this, and we thank you for who you are and for what you've done. Continue to pray for Ross Holcomb as he battles the effects of COVID and its complications in his life. Lift before you Carla Perleberg as she recovers from surgery, and we pray for Malcolm Keithley as he waits for surgery. We just take this time right now, God, to lift up prayers that have not been spoken to you, either silently or out loud. Father, be with Andrew this morning and guide him. May the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart be pleasing to you. And Father, open our eyes and our hearts, our ears, to see, hear your message and to be doers of the word, not only hearers. Father, we love you and we pray all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Kathy. Don't you just love her heart? She's a good leader. She's a good leader. And she's, yeah, as many of you know, she's been a key leader in women's ministry here. And so, yeah, we're just so grateful for her. Now, by a show of hands, who here remembers, maybe I remember this from elementary school, show and tell. Do you remember show and tell? That was like the best. That was the best. So I remember doing that in elementary school. Now, do they still, those of who have been in elementary school in the last 15 years, do you still do that? Yes, I saw from some teachers nodding. Yes, that is the best. Okay, so now for those of you who are online, my parents are online on the online service. So you in the comments, you can fact check me on this, because I remember this is a show and tell that, because I loved show and tell, because you get to bring in cool things. And then you get to talk about them. I mean, what's better than that, right? I had a show and tell that actually went really badly. And I don't actually remember whether this was an item that I brought in or somebody else in the classroom brought in, but it sounds like something that, you know, third grade me would totally do. So there was this wasp nest. Some of you already know how this one turned out, right? You know, and of course, you know, as I remember it, We had sprayed it, you know, so there was no more wasps. They were all dead. We'd even put it in the freezer so that it would kill off any of the, you know, any wasp larva. But they're like, you know, those kind of papery gray things like an orb. So I brought that into the classroom, and it was the best thing ever. And we all just looked at it and poked at it, and it was wonderful. And somewhere during the day, as I recall, something went wrong. And that even though you've sprayed it and put it in the freezer or whatever we did, I'm sure my dad was really, he's Mr. Responsible. So he did whatever was supposed to be done, and probably some step got missed or something. Anyways, yeah, you already know how that turns out. And we had at least one, maybe one or two people in our class that was actually allergic to bee stings. And so like the room cleared out, and it was very chaotic, but Show and tell. It was one of the best parts of school. And actually, the phrase show and tell ends up really connecting to what we're going to be talking about today. We're in a series called Bless, and what it means to try to be a blessing to the world around us. We've talked about how we need to begin with prayer, because God is at work before we're even on the scene. We need to listen with care, because the Holy Spirit is at work in the people around us. It's not our job to try to force a situation. It's our job to connect with what God is already doing in the situation. So we listen with care. We do things like Pastor Mark talked about last week, where we eat together. We find ways for hospitality, to welcome people into our lives, whatever exactly that looks like in our world, and even in the situations and the health and all that stuff. We find ways to reach out. And then today, we're going to talk about the part of what it means to bless our community. That's probably, I think, in some ways, maybe even the most important. And that's the idea that we need to show our faith and then tell our faith. That show and tell is a good model for evangelism. Now, it doesn't always go in this order. But it usually does. And I think it's all the more true in this kind of post-truth world that we live in, where everybody doubts everything all the time. It all depends on your source. And so when you start talking about Jesus, people need to see that it's real in you. And one of the greatest markers of authenticity for your faith and my faith and our faith collectively is our commitment to serving the needs of the people around us. Show and tell. Now, next week, we're going to talk about tell. And so we'll try to provide some tools for how we can express our faith. But today, I just want to talk about that first part, that service part, that what it means to show and to demonstrate our faith and to just remind ourselves of the importance of service, of serving in love. Now, it shouldn't be surprising to us that the first and best model we see of somebody who served in love is Jesus. And so we're going to spend some time today in John chapter 13. So if you've got your Bibles out, your digital Bibles, or however you access God's Word, I invite you to open that up to John chapter 13. We'll be reading verses 1 through 17. And this is a really, really key night. So this is the night of Jesus' final meal before he makes the journey to the cross. And in this night, Jesus does something that really, really, really gets his disciples' attention. And one of the ways we know that is that John, the one who's, you know, we're reading the book of John, written by John, and that John wrote more about this night than any other part of Jesus' life. It seems like he recorded almost every moment that was said, everything that happened. So something really, really, and this is the guy who's seen Jesus raise somebody from the dead. I mean, this moment really got Jesus' attention, so let's spend some time there. Okay. And this got John's attention, sorry. So let's spend some time there. So here we go. It was just before the Passover meal, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, and he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was around him. Now, I don't know if you caught the first part of there's a detail in here. Jesus took off his outer clothing. Outer clothing. Now, I just took off a jacket. If we're really getting technical about this, that would mean that Jesus took off all of his outer clothing. Now, let's just, I know, people got excited, you're like, don't run for the, just, now, this is the image, just hang on with me for a second, the image of Jesus in his boxers would get your attention, right? Teachers don't do that. Pastors who want to keep their jobs don't strip down to their underwear in the middle of a sermon. Don't worry, I don't mean to traumatize you all. Although I remember, like when they're teaching you how to not be nervous as a public speaker, they say just imagine your audience in their underwear. No, let's not do that today. I don't have that kind of money for therapy. So let's just not do that. But we'll think of the towel, okay. But the thing is, nobody does this. But Jesus did this. Jesus did this. This is a moment that got the disciples' attention. Jesus in his Fruit of the Looms. Well, it's more than that. But you know what I mean. This was not how rabbis would dress. This is not how teachers would dress. This is not how leaders would dress. And this is what Jesus did. Let's keep reading. Because see, it scandalizes the disciples. Like, some of you are on the verge of being scandalized. There's going to be nasty notes coming my way. You know, I know that. Because this is a scandalous moment. So, Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter. You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." So let's just pause there for a second. So Peter, I love Peter. He is like an all or nothing guy all the time. So he's scandalized. He doesn't want Jesus to wash his feet. And he's like, "Okay, if you're going to do this, you're going to wash all of me." He's the guy that you can imagine Jesus saying, "Peter, I am calling." Like if Jesus was ministering to disciples today, you know, "Peter, I'm calling you to missions." He'd be like, "I am signing up for the first mission to Mars. I'm going to be a missionary on Mars. I'm going to call up Elon Musk. We're going on the trip. Here we go." He'd be that guy when Jesus was really, what he was really meaning to say to Peter is, "No, Peter, I'm not trying to send you to Mars. I'm trying to get you to walk across the street and greet your neighbor." A lot of times we think when God calls us to do something, he wants us to do something super dramatic. And maybe he does. Maybe you are actually called to be a missionary to Mars. Maybe, probably not. But I do know you are called to be a missionary to your neighborhood. I do know that you are called to be a missionary to your family. I do know that you are called to be a missionary to the circle of people that you interact with on a day-to-day basis. Peter, who is all or nothing, Jesus had to dial him back a little bit. And then continuing on, verse 10. Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I set you an example of what you should do, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." And of course, this is not the only time Jesus expressed this high value of service. In the book of Luke, he put it this way, and as the disciples were, you know, as disciples are known to do, disputing with one another. A dispute rose, I'm reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 26. A dispute also rose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the least, the youngest, sorry, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." Just think of the scandal of that situation of the foot washing. I mean, this really, really got the disciples' attention. They see Jesus stripped down to almost nothing, put himself in the most humble of roles, a role that most of the time that would be the kind of the least ranking member of the family's role, or they in a formal meal they would often have some sort of a servant, you know, do the foot washing. And Jesus took that role. I don't think in our society sometimes we understand just how impactful this moment was. Because see, one of the things about our culture is we have this rich heritage of Christianity. You know, we've got all this. Jesus has influenced us more than we know. So that most people, even someone that wouldn't be a Christ follower, declare themselves to be a Christ follower publicly, would say servant leadership is a really, really good thing. We write about this in like secular journals and secular leadership things. Servant leadership. That's why even though we know it's a photo op, we love it when presidents show up at disaster zones. You know, whether that's to hand out bottled water or paper towels or whatever they're doing. You know it's a photo op, right? But we universally, or most of us, would say that is a good thing. I'm glad that these powerful people are in positions of service. This is good. Servant leadership is good. But prior to the time of Jesus, this didn't exist. Jesus was the first one. This moment of foot washing, that in the kingdom of God, the one who leads is the one who serves. It's a radically different way of looking at the world. Could you imagine Vladimir Putin washing somebody's feet? No. Kim Jong-un? No. Because these are cultures that are cultures of power. And Jesus looks at his authority and his power in a radically, radically, radically different way. Kingdom leadership is different than worldly leadership, period. And for us as Christians, as we're looking to demonstrate our faith, to have people hear the message of the good news of Jesus, the redeeming, transforming grace of God, for us to serve, our service is evidence of authenticity. Now, it's not the only evidence of authenticity, and let's be honest, service can be faked. But when people see people who claim to be followers of Jesus serving, it starts to break down some of the barriers. So let's talk about service. So in your life, who are you serving? And where are you serving? Now, so in the church, oftentimes, you've probably figured out this, but you know, the church is not actually here to serve you. The church is here to provide a platform so that we get to serve together, and we get to serve one another. I hope you are finding a place of service. So for many of you, I know you serve out in the community. That's why we've been highlighting all these different nonprofits, the whole 401 Natchee Valley thing, and so that we can encourage one another. Wherever God calls you to serve based on your gifts and your talents and your time and your passion and your interest, you get out there and you do something somewhere to make a difference. So, you know, I hope maybe you'll even, if you need to catch up, go to our church website, click on the 4 Wenatchee Valley link, and we've got a number of nonprofits that you have recommended. I did interviews with different executive directors of different nonprofits. Maybe one of those nonprofits is a place you want to serve. Or maybe you want to practice serving here. So let me give you some ideas, because I got you as a captive audience for a moment, you know. So starting with the youngest, if you love babies, nursery could be a great place to serve. We're just a couple more volunteers away from being able to have a sustainable rotation so that every week we can provide nursery care. Just a couple of volunteers away from that. Maybe that's you. Or next level up, children's ministry. You know, like we every week we pray for our kids' ministry. If you love kids, you love to teach lessons, you love to sing songs or do silly actions, or love to watch somebody else do silly actions, and be a great place to serve. In youth ministry, I'm working in youth ministry right now. I love our teens. They're amazing. They're a lot of fun. A lot of energy. A lot of fun. Come be a part of that. So talk to me if you want to take a step with youth ministry. Or the next level up, you know, of just to gather people, kind of like Kathy has been doing with the women's fellowships, or Brian's been doing with the men's events, with serving together and learning together and studying together, and all of our amazing connection group leaders. We're so grateful for people who will say, I'm gonna work on gathering some people. I'm gonna try to get people into the Word together, and that could be a great place to serve. Or for some, that will be things more related to, you know, facilities and grounds. We've got people that vacuum clean and empty garbages, and people that help with the Love Like Jesus sign and mowing lawns. Oh my goodness, there's so much to do. Or as you start to think for ministries that are even more outward, you know, we've got a team that goes to Bonaventure pretty much every afternoon, pretty much. They're in lockdown today. Oh. But or also Avamir. And for a while at Highgate. I mean, we're there's so much need. There's so much opportunity. And these are the seniors in these environments are just incredible people to hear and experience all this seasoned faith, and just to be there to open up the Word together, sing some old songs together, and love on each other. It's a beautiful thing. Or maybe one of the food-related ministries. You like food? So maybe that would be with somebody like Michelle, or also with Kathy, with the Green Bag program of making those kind of things. Or with Brian, he takes a team over to the Lighthouse to serve meals, and massive, massive amounts of food go out to families that are in need. That's happening every week. You could be a part of that. Or we're getting ready to send a couple of teams up next summer to serve with some of our native Alaskan church partners up in the Norton Sound area of Alaska, up well close to the Arctic Circle. Some amazing places and amazing people. There's opportunities to serve there as well. So I hope you'll find a place of service. Oh, I should also mention things like our Sunday morning teams. So that's like hospitality. So coffee, or we're getting ready to start communion teams again soon, or ushers and prayer teams. And so, you know, if you're interested in any of those areas, if there's something that's on your heart, I mean, grab one of the connection cards in front of you and write down your name, and I care about this, or I'm interested in this, and pop it in one of the baskets, and we'll get some of those leaders connected to you, and you can find out ways to take the next step. Now, ten years ago, I would have probably preached this message in a slightly different way than I'm going to land it today. Because, see, this is the moment where, you know, where the younger version of me would get all fired up. It'd be kind of inspiring and stuff, and be like, you know, if you're stuck in your faith, maybe it's because you're stuck in neutral. Or if you're stuck in your faith, it's because you've been stuck on the couch for too long. So get off your duff and let's go and do it. And giddy up, let's go, let's go, let's go. And for some of you, a small percentage of you today, you probably need to hear that. Like if you really aren't serving anywhere, guys, it's time to get it in gear. It really is. You're not going to experience the fullness of your walk with Jesus until you start to actually put it into action somewhere. So if you're stuck in your faith, maybe it's because you're just playing, you're stuck. You're stuck on the couch, or you're stuck in neutral. So for a few of you, you need to hear that. And I hope you will hear that clearly today. If you're stuck in your faith and you're not serving anywhere, like anywhere at all, I can tell you why you're stuck in your faith. Because you need to do something. It's time to put it in gear. Let's go. And we'd love to help you. We'd love to come alongside. Here's what I would say differently now, a few more years into ministry. See, I know that many of you, if not most of you, are serving somewhere. And so you're pretty tender-hearted because you really do want to make a difference. And sometimes you've experienced service a little bit like this. I don't know if, can we kind of do a close-up? Jerry, can you pull the camera in tight just so you can see this? So service sometimes for you will feel like this. It sometimes does for me. You've got all these different needs. So you pour out some time and some energy here. You pour out some time and energy here. And you pour out some more time and energy here. And it's never quite enough. And then you just see the need, and so you're like, oh, hey, I got a few more drops. And if I can just squeeze this thing, I can get a bit more out because there's so much need. It's inspiring because, you know, because it feels like you're just going to, I mean, I'm just going to give and give and give and until you got nothing left to give. You ever feel like that? Now there is something sacrificial about this model of just giving and pouring yourself out and pouring yourself out and pouring yourself out. But that's not actually how Jesus did it. You know, before the Last Supper, we see this pattern in Jesus' life continuously. As Jesus would spend time with the Father in prayer, he would get away from time to time. He would even say no to people from time to time. And then he would pour himself out into people. And then, in fact, we saw this right after the Last Supper, as he had washed his disciples' feet, as he had taught some of the most profound teachings of his life. I mean, John was recording, it seems, almost every moment of what Jesus said that night. Where did Jesus go? Do you remember? Why did he go? To pray. So Jesus went back to refill with the Father so that he could continue to pour himself out. Now here's where the illustration kind of falls apart, because this jug is about to run out of water. And I want you to know, friends, your Father never runs out of water. And some of you are already serving in so many places. And maybe this is a moment, today is a moment where you're going to sign up for a new area. For some of you, it is time to get off your duff. It really is. For others, what I hope you could do today is just be deliberate about the areas where you're already serving. Jesus wants to use you right where you are. And for some of you, your place of greatest service right now is in your home. Maybe it's with your parents, if they're aging, or somebody with sickness. Maybe it's with your kids. Parents, if you're raising kids, it's a tough world. or it's going to be through an area of your employment. We've got teachers in the room. Man, if you hear that somebody is a teacher, would you like pat them on the back, like a whole bunch? Last couple of years have been rough. But to be deliberate about serving where you already are. That those acts of love, those acts of pouring yourself out, they matter. Now, your service may or may not show up on Instagram. Now, when it does, that's kind of cool because, yeah, that does, you know, help to reinforce the whole, like, Christians, they're not all self-centered. The culture has seen a lot of self-centered Christians in the last couple of years. I know I'm getting a little controversial here, but there's pockets of evangelical Christianity. We have acted like just another special interest group. Like, it shouldn't surprise, like, when the only thing you get excited about is things that inconvenience you, that just means we're just acting just like everybody else. There's nothing unique about that. Like, I don't condemn you for feeling that, but we're just acting like everybody else. And not every act of selfless, outward-focused community service is going to end up on Instagram. It's nice when it does because it helps to poke a hole in the resistance of the people around us who don't yet know Jesus, who said, why should I follow Jesus? Because Christians are just like everybody else. Or maybe they've met one of our mean ones, and then they're like, why should I follow Jesus? Because I don't want to be like that guy or her. But you need to know this too, friends. Even when your area of service is not Instagrammable, it doesn't look good, it's not public. Do you know who sees it? God does. And even those acts of service that are done in secret, in mediocrity, that aren't social media worthy, those matter too. Those also are those true marks of authenticity. When we follow the way of our master and we lay ourselves down, we lay our interests down, our time down, our prayer down, our love down, our focus down, our resources down, whatever God is calling you to give. When we follow the way of our master, it matters. Changes our hearts too. So as you think about the areas in your life where you're serving, my nice wet sermon notes, because it's all been poured out so much that sometimes it even overflows. Isn't that awesome? That the Father always, always has enough. You know, those simple questions as you think of the people around you, what does this person, what does blank need from me in order to thrive? And Lord, help me to give. Help me to give what's needed. So I want to ask you, well, three questions. One, who are you serving? I've been challenging you to pray for people in your life. We've got a basket there that's filled up with names of people that you're praying for. God, would you open up an opportunity for me to share the good news of Jesus with this person? Who are you serving? That would be a great place to start. Maybe it's the neighbor across the street. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. What do they need? It might be a foot washing. Probably something a little more practical than that at the moment. But maybe it is. Who are you serving? Where are you serving? And I want to add this last question. Will you let God refill you as you serve. Service matters. What do you think would happen if Christians, like just regular, everyday Christians like you and me, what if we were actually known for our service? Now, on some level, I mean, I realize, you know, the meaner a Christian gets, the more likely they are to show up on the evening news. You've seen that. But show me the soup kitchen that's been started by an atheist. Show me. Christians were founders of the first hospitals. When we pray for medical workers, we are praying for people who are living in the legacy of Christians that have gone before them that said, when people are sick, I'm going to show up. When we pray for our teachers, we pray for people who are living in the legacy of Christians. You know, the first public schools were not called public schools, they were called Sunday school. Because people realized that especially those who couldn't afford the high-priced private school, they actually deserved to read. And so they thought, well, because we want them to be able to read the Bible. So let's teach them to read. Let's give them an education. And that idea implanted in our culture, and now we have public schools, and we forget our heritage. We forget the scaffolding that built the building that we live in. Because we want all the benefits of following Jesus without the cost of it. But what if Christians lived differently and said, we're going to keep serving? I'm not going to be known for what I'm against. I want to be known for what I'm for. Guys, it would literally change the world. That's why we believe that servant leadership is a good thing in our culture. It's because of Jesus. That's why we applaud the photo op. It's because of Jesus. Don't forget where true service comes from. It comes from Jesus. And it's the same Jesus that wants to fill you and refill you again and again and again and again for service. So meet him in those times of prayer. Pour out your heart and ask the Spirit to meet you there. He will. He does. It does not mean it is going to be easy, but it does mean it's going to be good. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that you served us. First, you laid down your life, you laid down your outer cloak, you washed the disciples' feet, and in the same kind of way you've washed ours. You laid down your preferences and your needs and your rights and even your life to meet our greatest need. It is through you that we have forgiveness. It is through you we have life eternal. It is through you we have the joy of knowing our Creator, our God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is through you that we experience life, not only everlasting and not only life in the new heaven and the new earth one day, but the fullness of life now that you are here. You are right here. You are right here with us. You did that for us. You did that for us, Lord. Help us to lay our lives down for the sake of others and for the sake of the gospel so that lost people could be found and hurting people could be helped in Jesus' name. And so if there's a spot, friends, where there's something on your heart or a person on your heart, just take a moment to lift that up, an area of ministry, an area of service, or a person. Lord, open up an opportunity for me to take the next step in serving, and just name that before the Lord, just under your breath, just right now. Lord, thank you that you hear our prayers. Lord, use your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, band, for leading us. Congregation, invite us to stand as we respond in song.
So what waters is God calling you out onto today? If you're feeling a nudge to step out in faith, we just need to be reminded that no matter where he calls us and what he asks us to do, he's going to be there and he's going to walk right through it with us and give us just what we need. Will you sing with us? You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith.
My faith will be made stronger in the presence.
Please have a seat. Invite you to take out the communion packets that you hopefully received if you're coming through the doors. And if you're at home, find some bread. Find some juice. If you didn't receive a communion packet in the room and you'd like to, would you put your hand up and one of our awesome ushers will get that to you right now? So grateful for people who choose to stand at the back of the room sometimes just so they can meet the needs of people. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so, disciples, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim his death until he comes again. Jesus calls us to service, but Jesus served us first. Do you know how loved you are? So I'm going to lead us in a short prayer, and then I invite us to take a moment to serve one another. So I'm hoping you will look somebody in the eye, even if that's across an aisleway, or if you need to, across the screen. You'll look somebody in the eye, and you'll speak these words as they eat the bread. And as they drink the cup. And then they will say those same words as you do the same thing. You look them in the eye and you say, "This is Christ's body. It's given for you." Look them in the eye and you say, "This is Christ's blood. Shed for you." Remind each other. Remind each other. Serve each other. Lord, help us to remember the ultimate act of service that you gave us as you gave your body, as you shed your blood. And Lord, may our remembrance of that moment and the moments that followed, Lord, may that empower us by your Spirit to love like you loved, to serve like you served. Use this time, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Serve one.
Call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Let's close our time together by saying the words of the Lord's Prayer out loud together. I invite you to stand, and wherever you are joining us from, including here in the room, let's speak these words out loud together as a family of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hey, we prayed, and look, Pastor Paul started feeling better. That's good. It's good to have you back, buddy.
Go ahead and have a seat, and it is very, very good to be back. Thank you. One of the things about serving, many of you, I'm on several boards. I've always got more back than I've given out, and I've given out a ton. But just something as simple as reaching out about 6 years ago to be on the county fair board for the North Central Washington Fair. About 2 years into it, the Thursday night at the Waterville Fair is Christian night. Guess what? Our band, we needed a new band. I just happened to know about the Andrew Thompson Project. So now the Andrew Thompson Project is the Thursday night at the Waterville Fair. Yay! This past year, our worship team that had led the Waterville Fair for probably 15 years with some scheduling conflicts couldn't do it. Guess what? Columbia Grove Covenant Church had a live worship service at the Waterville Fair. So it's amazing just by reaching out and stepping out of your own comfort zone what can happen. And we need Christian people in the secular world. And we need Christian people in our own church world as well. So a couple of quasi-pressing needs as far as serving. Andrew did such a great job on serving. We could use a few more people for our vacuum team. We got the bathrooms covered, so you don't have to worry about that. But a couple more teams, husband and wife, some friends, just so we can get on a normal rotation again for our vacuum. And just kind of plugging a little bit, we got snow right now, and it's cold, and windows were frosty this morning, but it won't be too much longer, and we're going to start up irrigating again. How many of you know that in the dead of summer, our irrigation filters need to be cleaned 3 times a day? Maybe one of you is early riser, wants to come down about 7 in the morning, 10 minutes. It's all it needs, but it has to happen. Or maybe you'd like to donate about 20 minutes of your time over a lunch hour to clean the irrigation filters and move some sprinklers. So just something to plug, a couple of needs we're going to have. And just contact me, as Andrew said, put a note in the offering basket. Come on up, Lori. And don't forget to do your Facebook check-ins. That helps build schools and provide bricks in underprivileged areas. And Lori would like to give you an update on a yard sale.
Good morning, church family. I'm Lori, and I just wanted to let everybody know that last year we had the church garage sale, and we're having one again this year. And I know at the warmer temperatures and that springtime feel, we're starting to clean out our garages, clean out our closets, and we just don't want you throwing it away, but start a box in your home and start collecting it. We don't have space here at the church currently to collect that, but the end of April, 1st of May, we'll start having the opportunity to bring it into the church. But we're going to be looking for volunteers to donate items, volunteers to help at the sale, and also we can always use prayer for that. It's a beautiful day. And mark it on your calendar. It's going to be Saturday, June 4th. And I'll be in the back at the coffee bar, so if you have any questions about it, just come and talk to me. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Lori. And this is just a personal note. Just thank you for all the cards, the messages, the notes in the mail. This last 3 weeks hasn't been the most physically fun for myself or my wife. And I mean, one day I got 14 text messages praying for you. So. But just know, while I was spending basically 9 days in bed with a migraine and couldn't eat, you know, tough time sleeping and everything, that I'd hear a ding on my phone and I knew somebody was praying for me. So thank you. I'd like to close today with an old hymn lyric that was special to me this last couple weeks. So join me in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Friends, have an incredible week. God bless each and every one of you. Love like Jesus. Depart in peace. Amen. I see your hand like a painting.